Welcome back to the hiatus feed for Of Steam, Steel, and Murder. Tonight, we continue our Deadlands game with Session 7, Part 1. As you might have heard if you tuned into our last episode, plans are in motion to start the next season of Steam, Steel, and Murder. So you fans of this particular game, stay tuned as new episodes are being planned. For now, enjoy Deadlands Tales from the Shattered Coast. But we've come to play Deadlands, though there are only three of us tonight. yes, we have. We will continue on with the three of us that we have today. If you guys, starting with, we'll do Sarah, Luke, and Gideon. If you can tell us what adventure card you drew so that you guys can...
hang on for a second.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to start with,
somebody else?
Sure, go ahead. Jameis, go ahead and tell us what Luke's got then.
I got Littlus. You're going to skin that smoke ring or stand there and bleed. Play at the beginning of combat round with no jokers. No character can soak wounds until a joker is drawn. Seems kind of painful, considering that we ended up wounded a lot.
Okay, I got Never Tell Me the Odds. Play instead of rolling to make a trait test with a single automatic raise.
Nice.
Mm. And that's and trait, not skill.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, trait.
But... Yeah, I got Contact, Reggie, you old scoundrel. Where have you been? Your hero sees an old friend or acquaintance who might help him in his current quest somehow. Of course, he may also ask for a favor in return. I don't really want to talk to my old friends. Hey.
You have old friends?
And just remember at any point you guys can trade cards back and forth whenever you might need them.
No, I don't have old friends. I have... people I know.
Antiquated enemies, yes, I understand that.
Acquaintances.
No, not quite. Enemies is completely the wrong word for the type of person who might show up for that card. Not someone I might necessarily want to deal with.
Gideon has frenemies.
Yes. All right, who wants to do the session recap for a chip?
Let's see. Last time... we decided to, well, just started going out towards where the ghouls were, did we ever get a place for the city in the rocks there, in the cliff face? Don't think I've got a name for it.
Nope.
Old city in the rocks place. We went down to where the ghouls' cavern were, we found there were no ghouls there, but we decided then to stick around there for, I don't know, several years or so, while we mucked around and tried to make Gideon lose his face, and that completely failed to happen. Eventually, Bird took pity on us and threw us a ghoul on top of a beaver. That lasted a whole round. We took care of the ghoul pretty quickly. Then our good doctor friend there, Sarah, shot the beaver and killed it with one shotgun blast. Yay! And then headed down to find out where all the beavers were. At the bottom of the river there, though we didn't get right any. I think something significant happened. Well, one plot thing happened down there, like someone got a rock or something, I can't remember what right this minute, I think it was Yong, maybe. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we eventually went back to the city and the rocks itself and did some bit of tracking and found out that the ghouls were, in fact, headed out towards the way we'd come the previous night, which meant that they were back in town while we were in their cave. Whoops! We hightailed it back to Perdition, got there just after dusk. Well, we didn't immediately see any ghouls. Gideon, myself, and the NPCs headed out to the Washitek railhead there, and found everyone dead. And that's when the ghouls attacked in the city. There was a lot of fighting happening. We put down a fair few ghouls. They put down a couple of us. We're progressing on our way to wipe out every city we come in contact with. And eventually, by the break of dawn, we managed to fend off the ghouls, and there weren't that many left, although we didn't eradicate them all. And then we were just left to pick up the pieces.
Sounds good.
Healing.
We'll call the Indian city, translated into white man speak, white man's ruin. All right. Anybody have anything to add to that? Otherwise, I hear your chip there.
Let's see. Yeah, there was some stone throwing and some faith rolling there. And then also there was a issue with the dynamite being exploded motive, but then I managed to stop that along with the help of the NPCs and Yeah, Luke. But we left those we left everything else to burn, but we prevented the dynamite from exploding.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go ahead and start then. It's that same night. This is right after you got a head count that there were 32 people here in town with an undetermined amount down at the railhead have died. And I do believe you were asking for the bodies to be rounded up and burned. Is that correct?
The ghoul bodies?
Yes.
Yeah. We did request
to
be burned.
So, so the people are now, you got several people kind of around you. There's looks of shock on everyone's face, not knowing what just happened, and there's lots of questions. Mayor, what happened? What are these people? We got dead all over the street, Mayor. What are we going to do?
Gideon did make a big speech at the end there and failed to make anyone more scared.
Yes.
Yes, I managed to highlight the bravery of the individual man.
That's right. You succeeded in not having the fear level be raised. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had done that by highlighting the individual common man and how he had stood up.
So I have the questions that are flying around now, most of them directed to you, Mr. Mayor, is what happened? What are these people? What are we going to do with the dead? Are they diseased? They're looking at all the bodies you're having burned, and, they don't look right.
Yes, if y'all had remembered, we had set out to strike out at the degraded Indians at their home. Unfortunately, being clever buggers, they had already set out to attack the town when we had done so. Fortunately, they drove out all their kin and settled on us next. We are seeking to take care of this issue concurrently.
What are we going to do about our sick and injured, Mayor? My pack got bit. Is he going to be all right?
As far as we are aware of, yes, they will be all right. We do have two trained doctors who went through the war. They will be monitoring everyone's condition and ensure that no one suffers any sickness from this. If they do, we will find a cure for them.
All right. Give me a roll there just to see how believable everybody thinks you're being as you're answering these questions. And this is kind of a no. Okay, yeah. That was a massive 18 there, being very persuasive and charismatic. You allay everyone's fears. They're considerably more injured than they were dead. So people are going to go and look to their injured, and this happened in the middle of the night. People got to work in the morning, have fields to tend, etc. So except for those who are offering to lend a hand to you to collect all the ghoul bodies, the rest kind of break up for the night. A little uneasy, but your words seem to give them at least some semblance of calm. So you're left here, these ghoul bodies that I believe you took them somewhere. You piled them up, but towards the graveyard.
Yeah, and then we were just
going to make a big fire. All right.
Yep.
Sarah, you finish there after a while. You were in the makeshift tents that they set up to do some triage with some people that aren't quite dead but got wounded by this attack.
I thought we made some rolls last time.
Richard Lewis. Yeah, you did. So you're done with all that now, so I'm saying there. Sarah, you're joining back with your group here. This is several hours later after, you and Richard have, done pretty well by the people. Looks like everyone that got injured is going to make it, some nasty bites, some scratches, that sort of thing. Doesn't look like anybody's in too critical a condition.
Well, given I've had one. Oh, sorry. Were you saying something?
The last thing is no one has gone back to the railhead to look up anything there though. That still needs to be looked at.
Yep, I will point out we're kind of exhausted from dealing with this. I'm not saying we can't deal with that, but we all are kind of exhausted.
Yes, I was going to go to bed before someone reminded me that, we need to deal with that. So let's go deal with that, and then go
perhaps
to bed.
We should leave the sheriff and the Chinaman here while we go deal with that.
Yeah, they will ensure that if there was any other further attack, they will be managed.
They will finish managing the ghouls here and answer any other questions that some strays might have. But otherwise, town seems to be bedding down for the night and has back to as much peace as can be imagined. So you guys are going to head over to the railhead, see what the damages are there. You can still see some of the buildings burning, not like in huge conflagrations, though. Your guys did a really good job of basically pushing down the buildings that were going to go up away from other buildings. But there are still some small fires.
Someone huffed and puffed and blew the fire down.
Yes. Well, the Lord did. I was merely his conduit.
Blow hard from the Lord.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Have you never heard of the story of the Red Sea? Let me tell you about the Red Sea.
All right, so you go down towards the railhead there, and there's still some of the people that you had kind of gathered together. They're still doing, you know, throwing dirt over to what remains of fires, etc. They have safely removed the crates of dynamite from any places that look like they're still at risk. It seems like all is under control. There's a pile of bodies that the men have been dragging miners out as they found them. Looks like there were only 9 miners here last night, though. The rest had either gone into town, and these were the last people that were on just like a shift watch duty. So it was a very meager crew that was here when this all happened.
Now, we kind of got the, not to say you're not recalling anything, but we did kind of get the impression that the ghouls were here sort of during the entire day before and wiped out everyone that was like in the railhead and put it, wiped out everyone who came down there. But then almost the entire mining crew had been killed off. Not just
actually,
a couple of skeleton people.
What it looks like after it's less chaotic now, and you were hearing stories from other miners earlier on. It looks like many of the miners had already left at quitting time, which, you know, the sun was still up and it was getting towards dark, but not quite dark yet. So the people that were here were the overnight people that are usually just here to watch over to make sure nothing got stolen. So there weren't that many people here when the ghouls did come up. Although when they did, they pretty much slaughtered everyone that was here. Right. Best as they can find is that they hid out. This is going through some of the mines that were still around. There's more here than just the underground tube that feeds the train. This used to be mining area out here, too. They used to mine tin in these hills here. They had been closed down for quite a while, though, because there's really no call for it, and they didn't have the people to continue to do it. The railhead pretty much sprung up from the remnants of an old mining town that was here. So anyway, the ghouls had made their way here before dawn, day before, hit out in these old mining tunnels, and kind of just burst forth once the sun went down.
Did we find Hetty or whatever her name was?
Wagner, I believe. Let me try to pull up my notes.
I'm going to say Hetty Haywood because I've been listening to Red Dwarf recently, but yeah.
We did find her, but
No, we never found her.
I don't think we did, but...
Yeah,
have we found her now, possibly what remains of her?
If you're talking about the lady who's kind of like the liaison between the railroad, yes, she's out here now. Actually, she's the one that'll come up and kind of give you the report of what happened. She's rounded up the rest of the rail workers from town, got them to come out here to do a little bit of damage control to see what happened. They do come up with another little bit of tidbit for you. It looks like there's at least a pack of these things that went down the train tunnels.
Oh, crud.
Well, given this is Washatech, doesn't
it? Yeah,
I'm thinking of the right chat. They've got the
anti. You are. Yeah, you remember coming through that tunnel that they had some very odd devices that were doing sentry duty in the tunnels. Yeah.
Robots with Gatling guns.
Yeah.
Some of the miners, and this is Hetty is giving you the report, so you don't have to talk to the individual miners. She's done all this while all the action was going on in the town. Some of the miners report that the group of ghouls that went through the tunnel, as ghouls seems to be the word that you're using, they seem to be it's really, the people said they were like going crazy. Like they seemed to be in pain. Their flesh was kind of smoking and bubbling. And they look really disoriented.
Wait.
Is that because of the metal? My immediate thought is the same with the metal.
Yeah, the metal. Yeah, that's a very good thought.
But, we've got metal in town. Yeah. Was any of the ghouls, any sign of this, any of the ghouls in town with all the metal around?
Well, consider that most of the town buildings are all made of wood and brick. There's actually very little metal in evidence in town.
Okay. It might be a question of concentration. All right, well, I'm going to bed. I'll see y'all in the afternoon.
Before you go, this is Hattie, I'm going to telegraph off a message here to Wasatch. Do you have anything you want to add?
I already sent off a short message.
Oh, okay. So you've already sent them a message? That's just fine, Mayor.
Yeah, you might want to countermand my message. My message was based off of early information. So go ahead and
You want me to tell them just ignore your previous message? Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Gosh, not really.
Terrible tragedy.
Anyone here think of anything?
Terrible tragedy. You agreed what happened to the men.
Yeah.
I don't think we should go outside the lines on this one. I think just a straightforward report would probably best.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. No, just tell them that my earlier message had been one when the situation was a little bit more confused, but everything seems to be well in hand.
Let them know if you do anything to help.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't look like they got to a lot here important. We're missing several buildings here, but nothing that can't be built back in a week or so. All the equipment seems to be in one piece. We're going to be souls here. Do we need to, and she takes you aside.
Yeah.
Is there anything we need to do with these, bodies? Special?
We need to burn them. They all need to burn them. Burn those bodies.
It's a public health, consideration. They just need to be burned.
Okay, we can handle that. How about our employees here? Are the bodies safe to transport back to the loved ones? Those that have any?
Let's put them under quarantine for a couple days and then ship them out.
Well, we'll put them on salt just to...
Yeah, that's...
On salt and under lock and key.
Yeah.
Salt keeps the bodies stinking too much here in this.
Is there anything... quick sort of aside again. Is there anything you can do from the Lord to help purify the body's consecration type thing? I don't...
Only generally after they've... that's more for taking out bad things that have gotten in, like spirits and whatnot. I can...
Actually, given your faith, there's not really a blessing for the dead that you would give.
Yeah, pretty much. I can, exorcise evil spirits, but that's about it.
Okay, I can't remember where the spell list is, so I can't even look at that by this minute. As a priest, I don't know, maybe there's something you could have done. But no, obviously you're useless in front of the Lord. Yes.
No, it's not so much I'm a priest, and... I'm not really a priest. And secondarily, the things I can do all involve spirits. This is not a spiritual thing. This is a disease thing. So, yeah.
Preacher Man is obviously babbling from his fatigue. So,
yeah, I'm going to bed now. Y'all have a good day. Go bed. I'm getting out of here. This whole place is horrible.
All right, everybody else also going to bed then. We'll point out that it has been a very long day today.
Yes.
It was a long yesterday. Today is just getting worse.
All right, by the time you get back to the town then, companions have the burning well under control. Seems like they go up pretty easily. Once you get a bit of fire on them, that seems that they reduce down to dust pretty quickly.
Yeah. Because the dead are dry as bones, yes.
I'm really interested in exploring as we're riding back. I'm really interested to explore that cave, and maybe they have some stuff that they've taken from the Indians and the travelers and whatnot. They might have some interesting artifacts, possibly.
There's also the fact that there's possibly some ghouls got away.
Yeah, well, they got down the tunnels. I mean, we'll see. We'll deal with the ghouls down the tunnels next. Then, do you want to deal with the election first, or do you want to try to explore the cave?
Actually, quick out of character question, Bert. Are you trying to get through Rest of Perdition in today's session, or is it just up to the players, or what?
Well, I want to finish up with Perdition today and get you guys on a boat by the end of this.
Right.
So anything you choose to do that really doesn't go anywhere, I'm just going to hand wave and say, after a few hours. All right? Okay. So we'll go with that. We'll go with that.
All right.
Yeah. Well, we might as well explore the cave and then deal with the election.
But you are going to go all to sleep first, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Not tonight. Or tomorrow.
Well, today. It's still daytime.
Snorefest.
Right.
Yeah. Adventure in breezes.
All right, everybody. Let's see. I do believe everybody at this point has passed. No one's still suffering from nightmares, right? Everyone passed all their rolls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Eventually.
My notes here. Yep. Oh, yes. Everyone has normal sleep, normal dreams then. Waking up in the morning as, you have noticed on other days, although it's not clockwork, by the blast of a steam engine as a train has apparently entered the railhead this morning. Checking your timepieces, it's a little bit after 6 a.m. People have been up since, 4 or 5 this morning, those that do farming.
How much sleep did we just get?
About 4 hours.
Excellent.
You're welcome to turn, roll around in your bed and go right back to sleep. I'm just saying that you're all kind of woken up by the sound of a steam train coming into the depot. Happens around 6 o'clock.
I will get up and wander my way over to Luke.
All right. Luke, did you sleep through that?
Yeah. Do you get any messages from me?
Oh, that Luke.
Yes. Not you. I don't care about you. The Joker.
Oh, that Luke. Okay.
You see, he could have different freaking names.
We'll call him, you can call him Watson or Joker. That's fine.
Joker. Yeah. We'll see if Joker has any messages for me.
All right. So you're going to get up after just a few hours, 4 hours or so asleep, dress, I suppose, go out to see Joker. Sarah, Luke, are you guys getting up at that? Or are you going to go back?
Oh, I'm getting up.
Okay. So everyone's still a bit tired. You didn't get a good night's sleep. You kind of bump into each other coming down the stairs. Everyone is staying at the Cliff Watch Hotel.
It's like in the war.
They do have the breakfast out already, though, if you want to grab some coffee and breakfast before you head out. And as you guys are passing through
for me.
The dining area.
Coffee for me.
Hattie comes in. She doesn't look like she's gotten much sleep either, although she's impeccably dressed as she's always been every time you've seen her. She has a telegram in her hand. Mr. Mayor, I thought you might want to see this first thing. I've got a response back from Osage. She hands the telegram over to you.
I will read the telegram.
It's short and to the point. Basically says that their armed defense systems have taken care of all intruders. Need not worry.
Sweet. Well, don't have to worry about that. Interesting. Okay. Any new arrivals on the train that I need to be concerned with?
Asking Hattie. Haven't been down to the depot yet today. We were scheduled to get some rolling stock in, some bars, some coal, and some other equipment. She looks at her watch and says, does a little calculation. It's probably a passenger train today, too.
Oh, Well, might as well go greet the newcomers. Y'all want to turn to my fellow party members and say, do y'all want to go cave exploring today or rest today and do it tomorrow?
What do you think, Mr. Mayor?
You guys having breakfast before while you're discussing this, or are you just...
Oh, yeah. I'm eating, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then you're at a nice table. Yeah. You're pretty much alone in the place right now.
Do y'all want to... personally, I would like to go cave exploring and just get it done.
Okay. Sounds good.
One hand, yes. On the other hand, the town's just had a huge shock. Probably could have the mayor around to help recuperate from that.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. We'll stick around for the next few days, and I'll just do glad handling and making sure the elections go well.
As you guys are having your breakfast and talking, several men come into the Cliff Watch Hotel. There's about 10 of them, actually. They're all... they seem to have well-packed luggage. Some of them are got multiple sets that are kind of bursting at the seams, and they're kind of having a discussion with a lady behind the desk there, and she's pointing them down the street. Looks like some of them are checking into the hotel, though. The majority of them, though, are all sent out of the hotel, and they seem to be trundling along.
Okay, I will go over and introduce myself as Mayor of Perdition, temporary.
You're going to grab the whole group before they kind of split up, or are you going to talk to the ones that are staying?
I'm going to introduce myself to everyone and just say we're a small town. I just like to get to know anyone who's passing through.
All right. They're not, greatly dressed. Their clothes are kind of shabby. They look like they're all workmen of some stripe. Some of them look like they might have been miners, prospectors, et cetera, handymen of some sort. Some of them are packing. You can obviously see tools in some of their boxes. Mm-hmm. And as a man, they all kind of smile at you a little bit, and one of them steps forward and says, "Hi, glad to meet you, Mr. Mayor. I hope the town is as promised.
I don't know what was promised, son. What would that be?
Oh, you don't know?
No, I'm afraid.
One of the guys rustle around in his backpack, and he pulls out a scrap of paper, and he hands it over to the first guy talking to you, and he hands it to you. It's basically a kind of written up as a proclamation. Looks like it was printed in a newspaper. It's been torn out, so you don't know which newspaper it was. Basically says, perdition, our town's booming, and we're looking for new residents. First 100 people that apply.
That's certainly true. We are looking for new people.
Well, the gist of it is that apparently the Quirt's Export Company has offered up 1 acre of land free to the first 100 people that apply.
One coupon. Oh,
no. 1 acre? A single acre.
Yep.
Those, that son of a bitch. Okay.
It's a useless lot and it makes them land owners. Great.
Oh, we know, man. You can't do a lot of farming on an acre of land, but if this town's going to boom like this here newspaper says, a man could make a little house here, make a living with his hands.
Mr. Mayor, you should get in front of this very, very quickly.
Huh.
Did you have a time limit on that being a landowner thing?
You didn't.
No.
You had a time limit on people that weren't landowners.
Yeah, all right. This is... All right, well... All right, gentlemen. Well, I hope
this is what you get when you have Bert as your GM. Yes.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, how many? There's only about 10 in this group.
Oh yeah, this just ran in the paper yesterday. I expect there'll be many more coming.
Okay, if that's the case, I'm going to go over to that office and apply for my own acre of land.
Well.
Ma'am, can you show us where it is? We haven't been to town before.
I don't know.
We're supposed to go to this Kurtz Export Company? He's reading off the paper. Can you tell us where it is?
Well, let's go find it.
Well, it's 9, I believe.
Yeah, you guys know where it is. It just, some newcomers don't have no idea.
No, they have no idea. Mm-hmm. But I'm serious. I'm going to go apply for my own acre of land, too.
All right. Well, they're all ready to go. They want to get their acre before the 100 people have already come. They don't know. So they're anxious to be off. So if you want to join them, go right ahead. What are you doing, Mr. Mayor?
I'm thinking about how to screw this guy over because, damn it, this is not against the law. At the same time,
look at the fine print and see if there's some way you can grab all those 100 acres for yourself.
Well, no, honestly, what I was thinking about is just having the refugees apply for the land and take it.
Have they already got land?
Yeah, they've already got more than an acre, but...
Yeah, the refugees actually have some pretty good land deeded to them.
Yeah, but hey, a free acre is a free acre.
And yes, you only got the townsfolk here who may want more land.
Yeah,
To be more precise reading through the newspaper, it does say at the bottom that there are stipulations and to report to.
Yeah.
Right.
Kurtz Export Company.
That's what I said. See the fine print.
Yeah. Yes.
So what are those little stipulations?
Well, it's not in the newspaper.
It's just going to be, All right.
I'm still going to head over there and find out what they are.
Yeah, I'm going to go over to Kurtz. I'm going to go to Red Saloon. They should probably be there this time of the morning.
Oh, yeah. Red serves breakfast like most places do. Sure. Is everybody leaving the Cliff Watch then?
If you don't mind following me, Miss Beauchamp, honestly, I don't think there's much to be done at Kurtz.
Okay, we'll follow you. What's going on?
Well, Kurtz is trying to screw with the rules, and I am not one to take that kindly, and I'm going to go have a talk with him as he is, although following the letter of the law is breaking the spirit of the law in our nice little agreement, and it's mighty irritating to me.
It's very low-handed if you ask me, but yes, I'll follow you.
It's low-handed, but it is to be expected.
They are politicians.
Well, it's clever as hell. I give them that. That's clever.
As you exit the Cliff Watch Hotel, you see that there's actually, other than those 10 men, there are more people that have gotten off the train. There's four guys that are pulling. Go ahead.
I'm going to go head over to Kurtz's office where I expect there to be a riot breaking out any minute now.
Well, those 10 guys are heading over to Kurtz's office now. It doesn't look like there's a line or anything in front of them, although they're open awfully early, open earlier than they normally are. But as I was saying, there's 4 men going down the street with a load of what looks like very heavy equipment, and they've got it all strung up on some canvas, and they've got poles on either end of the crates, and they're kind of heading off down the street with it to very end there where it says newspaper office. You guys have the map up, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. They're heading out that way. And actually, that building now is the doors open up front. It looks like somebody is putting some lettering on the glass. And, some equipment's heading that direction.
Neat.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's a problem we should be acknowledging, but yes. Neat.
Well, if you're passing by Kurtz's office, those 10 guys go in. And it looks like, He's got some men posted outside that are kind of casually looking, supposedly looking after the horses there in the pen, but they're keeping a wary eye on the front door.
Yeah,
but, those 10 guys file in.
I will file in with them. Sarah, no, you keep an eye on that. See if they're explicitly asking for votes.
Yep, will do. I file in with them then.
One of the things you did stipulate was no buying of votes. So
yeah, this is buying of votes. This is pretty egregious.
Well, yeah. Sarah, as you step in, the 10 men approach the desk there, and Kurtz Sr. is there, and that's Mashik Kurtz. He's there, and he's talking quite amiably with his 10 men there, and he's got contracts all laid out in front of him. And he's like, as promised, folks, 1 acre land deeded here in Perdition. A few things we've got to go over with first. Sarah, you're hearing this. Is anyone here, first of all, cannot read? A few of them put up their hands. He says, okay, well, let me go over this here document. First and foremost, it says you cannot already be a landowner here in Perdition. Does anyone already own some land here? No one raises their hand. All right, well, you're all deeded 1 acre land. Each of these contracts here show you where you can find your land. This is all broken out from my own personal property. And, he goes on for a bit talking about his grand vision of what Perdition can become under his son's leadership. And he does drop every once in a while that there is going to be an election soon in town. Never asks anyone for a vote, though.
Okay, I go get one of my, I go get a dean of my own.
Oh, Miss Beauchamp, are you interested in some land?
Why, yes, I find this town quite charming.
Well, you, did you hear my spiel? Are you already owning any property here?
No, I don't.
Well, I'm a man of my word, little lady. Here you go. He pulls a sheet off of a big stack he's got on the back counter and lays it out in front of you. And it shows you, it's basically a squared off parcel of land just right outside the main part of town here.
Okay, thank you. you're not in any way trying to influence these good folk into voting for your son, are you?
Oh, no. Perish the shot, Sarah. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be quite so familiar with you, Miss Beauchamp. It's, as you know, my son and I have some big plans for this city. And a city that needs growing needs people to grow it. And, well, I've got land here more than most, and I'm willing to give up, bits of it so that this town can grow faster. Now, if they're feeling a bit of kindness towards me and my son and wish to vote for us, well, that's as is, but I certainly, as you may have noticed, never asked anyone to vote for my son.
No, I understand that. I just want to remind everybody that we want this election to be as fair as possible. So, this is a great thing you're doing for the town. And whether your son wins or not, we will always, always remember just how generous and how great a citizen you are.
That's right, folks. From the lady's mouth herself, just remember how generous the Kurtzes can be. Smiles. sly smile.
I smile back at him. It's like, just so, sir. Yeah, just as long as the election is all on the up and up and everything, there's no problem.
Of course. Just had to. Feel free to take a look at your parcel of land anytime you want. It's a legal document you have there in your hand. Just take it down to the revenuer's office when you get a chance, and they'll strike you in the rolls.
Oh, thank you, sir. I really appreciate that. You are a very generous man, sir. I give him my sweetest smile.
Would you like one of our campaign buttons, ma'am? It's got a blue button. It's got a hand painted image of his son on it, looking much dapper than he actually is.
Why, certainly. I would love one of those. I collect them, you know.
People collect the strangest thing. Yes, here, take some more to your friends. It basically gives you a small handful of them.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. I put them in my purse.
Right. Meanwhile, outside, the guys that are taking the machinery into what in fact looks to be the local newspaper, at least one, is starting to look like business might be open very soon. There's a guy on the window, as I was saying, doing some stenciling, and looks like the Perdition Harbinger is soon to be open, and the names they've chosen.
Y'all are appallingly bad at choosing names. Stop choosing names. Talk to me before you choose names.
Okay, yes, Mr. Gideon, sir.
I'm at Red's.
Wow.
Oh, you knew he was going to Red's, so that's over to Red's.
I head over to Red's.
All right. Meanwhile, you would have gotten there ahead of Sarah, of course. Gideon, are you following? Luke, are you following Gideon?
No.
Where were you going?
I was going over towards Curtis to make sure there's nothing.
Kurt? Mm-hmm. Well, some of his cowhands on the outside, like I said, they're seem to be kind of hanging around the front. They are armed. You can see they've got gun belts on. They tip their hats at you, though, knowing that you're one of the mayor's friends. You get a pleasant howdy from them. They pretend to do some work with the horses.
Failing that, head over to the... sort of get distracted by what they're doing over at the newspaper office.
Over in Red's... quiet morning. Most people are already out working the fields and stopped in early for coffee and breakfast. So there's hold on a second. You went to Red's, not to the Fallen Angels. Okay, yeah.
Not to the Fallen Angels.
Red's actually has several people still dining, actually. The people that don't work for a living.
Yes. Yeah. I'm looking for Kurtz or some...
Well, you don't see anyone. Do you want to ask one of the staff? As you come in, they ask, Mayor, would you like to have some breakfast with us this morning? We've got some...
No, thank you. I've already...
Fine French grapes? No? Okay.
No. I was looking for Mr. Kurtz or his son.
Well, Granville's here. He's in a private room having breakfast as usual.
Ask him if he wouldn't mind meeting with me.
Oh, certainly, sir. He goes away, comes back after a while, and says, Mr. Kurtz, Jr. is welcome to entertain you this morning if you'd like to come in. Can I send a beverage?
Mm-hmm. Water, please.
Sure. Granville's having breakfast. He's got basically a private booth in the back. He's got a newspaper from Shan Fan spread out. Seems to be pouring over it. Just, come in. He's got a big stack of waffles in front of him. He's like, oh, man. And
I will start flipping. I will shake his hand firmly, and then I'll take out a silver dollar and start flipping it between my fingers. Now, I understand that your family is offering land free of charge to people. Now, I understand that such a gratuity is gifted completely without any nasty little notes in them, such as bribery for votes.
He lays down the newspaper and has this huge grin on his face, and it's not in any... You get the idea that maybe Granville's a little... a much simpler man than his father. Granville is just like, yeah, isn't it brilliant? My father's got that spare 250 acres out past the edge of town there. And, I thought it was a fabulous way when he explained to me how he wanted to grow the town. He's attracting in all kinds of workers.
Indeed. Where's your father?
Oh, he's over at the shop today. He's setting up all those contracts to get those new people in.
Okay. I appreciate that. And it sounds like you're having a good old time here. I'm going to go, take care of some business, and then I'll discuss, this further at his place. Meet over there in about an hour, say.
Oh, that would be great. Although I do have a question for you, if you don't mind, Mayor.
I don't mind.
Mr. Mr. Watson, I was thinking that it might be a good idea if we had a stump speech, kind of a debate to let the people know what our particular stances are on things. And if we thought it might be, well, polite if we ask you to arrange something like that for us.
I will do so. I believe it was already set for Sunday, this Sunday, but after church. But I'll make sure that I'm going to be go ahead and giving the sermon there. And I'll make sure that y'all have everybody's aware that there will be a stump speech given by each of you two individuals.
Oh, fabulous.
After church.
Care for some bacon?
No, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Goodbye. Have a good day, Mr. Kurtz. I will meet you at your father's place in about an hour.
On your way out, you'll run into Sarah, who is
okay. Sarah, do you have the contract?
Yep, here's the here's a copy of the contract. I need that back.
Where are we going? Where does it get certified?
Gotta go to the registrar's office.
Let's go there immediately.
Okay, and well, we're gonna go there, but on the way, I'm gonna tell you, he's not directly asking for votes. However, I understand that, but everyone gets this. I grabbed as many of these as I could, but have a few Kurt's campaign buttons. They're hand-painted. It's going to cost them a pretty penny. I know it's petty, but whatever.
Yep. And as soon as I get to the revenuers, any transfers of land, there will be no more transfers of land that happens within the next 2 weeks.
You don't have the right to say that, Mayor. These people own their lands. They can do what they want with it. This is what the revenuer is telling you. You've got no right to tell someone that they can't sell the property.
I got a right to pass a law that says there's got to be a 2 week waiting period involved.
No, sir, you don't.
Why wouldn't I have that right?
Because they have the right to buy and sell their land.
Right.
That is a given right.
And right. And as the mayor, I have the right to regulate such things.
You don't, actually, Nick.
Why wouldn't I?
Because you can't regulate what a man does with his property. You can't make a law like that. A mayor can't do that.
So a city council, however, could.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Or you could use some sort of weird eminent domain kind of law and just take possession of the whole thing.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, once again, any law that you want to pass has got to go through a council. You can't just
go through
the law.
No, that's right. That's absolutely right. Okay.
What you got to ask yourself at some point is, at which point does shooting him become the easiest option?
No, but at the same time.
Yes.
I don't mean to gainsay you, Mayor.
No,
matronly woman behind the desk, and she looks frightened and standing up to you. But
that's, no, ma'am.
That's the law of the territory.
No, ma'am, you did the absolute right thing, and it would have to be a city council decision and not a personal decision. I was overwrought, and I appreciate you standing up for what is right.
Well, is there something I can do for you? Is there something wrong with the contracts or the land? Let me
read the contracts.
A little flustered.
No, ma'am. Well, I might as well tell you, we had made some laws regulating who could vote in this upcoming election. And very unfortunately, it appears that there's being some underhanded deals that are going through with the, and Mr. Kurtz, apparently sees fit that to give the land away.
Mr. Kurtz. Yes, he just filed an affidavit here recently. She goes back and basically he pulls out a big map and lays it down so you can see. And it basically shows all the land owners by title. The Kurtz family owns over 250 acres just past the southern side of the map there. Most of it is, unused territory. But he just yesterday he just registered to split up these 100 parcels here. And, basically he's carved out 1 acre lots out of his property.
All right. Let's go sit down somewhere. Do I have the right to request this affidavit just to make sure everything's been done legally?
It's public record. Here you are.
Let's sit down and see if we can't find something that's wrong in here. If there isn't, I have an hour before my meeting with him. Let's see if we can find something wrong here. If we can't.
Do any of you have any kind of knowledge, specialty in law?
I did, but then I got rid of it.
In the meantime, I want to register my claim.
Oh, yes, ma'am. And she takes it, and she actually shows you which parcel of land it is off the map. You got one of the parcels that are in the one of the first 10 facing towards the town, so you're actually in the parcel closer to town.
Awesome.
And she does point out that there's easement rights that, you know, you're around each 1 acre lot. There's an easement of several feet. So, like, if you wanted to put in a driveway or something like that between. Uh-huh. So you're not all packed together, in other words. There is a way to get in and out of your property.
And I don't see anything bizarre with the contract, do I?
No, it's pretty straightforward. It's you owned it outright. You can just turn around and sell it if you wanted to. The only stipulations it makes is you cannot already currently be a property holder in Perdition.
A landowner.
Landowner.
Okay. Because I have personal property that I own that is in Perdition.
Yeah. Okay. Can't be a landowner. If you own a home, you own land because you own land underneath the home.
Right. Okay, that's fine. So I now have an acre in Perdition. Woohoo!
It's not particularly, basically, it's not farmland or anything. It's not particularly attractive land, but you could build a house on it.
It wasn't the point.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go ahead and make those law rolls with someone who has the card that would be very useful for them. And just make sure that this land is within the city. And then
the card can be given to whoever wants to pay it. It doesn't have to be put in the head at the moment.
Somebody throw the card out on the table, since it seems like you want to play it. I just want to read it real quick, because I believe it says trait roll. Is that correct?
Indeed. And I just checked trait tests to use an attribute or skill.
Yep.
So,
who's got the card? You can toss it onto the table there.
Sarah Beauchamp has it.
Sarah. Okay.
Oh, wait, you want me to play my card?
Yep.
Just go to your adventure card tab and then just drag the card onto the chat window. There you go. Okay, so basically this allows you to make any roll with an automatic raise. The only thing, since it's Sarah's card, we'll let Sarah be the one to figure it out. The only small thing that looks like it might not be legal, but it's splitting hairs, is that the city limits of Perdition have never been ratified. So you really don't know how far out is Perdition and when it becomes something else. It's like, it is really nitpicky because since nothing has been designated,
time to screw these people out of boats.
If it's not in Perdition, what is it considered part of? It's not Perdition.
Just wild territory, unincorporated territory.
Mr. Mayor, you might want to start looking into establishing the city limits soon.
Yeah, we'll do that after he gives out all the land. But I will have this. I guess it's time for me to have my quick meeting with the Kurtzes. Or I had told Kurtz Jr. I was coming over to see Kurtz Sr. So I will go get that done. Hey!
Kurtz Sr. is still there. Mashik, he is, behind the counter. Looks like he's doing inventory. He's got several clerks around. And once again, those cowhands are outside. Just kind of, you figure they're looking out for trouble. Although they're very polite to you. They all tip their hats at you, Mayor.
I'll tip my hat right back. I'll actually stop a moment and chat with them and just, be friendly.
Okay. Actually, they're quite friendly right back. They's like, yeah. Mr. Kurtz said that we should put in some extra hours today. He's figuring that he's offered a pretty nice deal, and there might be some mischief going on once all the parcels are handed out. We're just supposed to be on call in case.
Mm-hmm. And one never knows who won the tracks. It's a very wise decision by Mr. Kurtz. He's a clever man himself. But
while you're talking to the cowpoke, you guys see Luke, Joker. He's out and about. He's stopping people in the streets and just basically shaking hands and smiling and talking to people. You overhear him basically just introducing himself to some of the people that just got off the train, who he is, and if there's a mayoral election coming up, he's a candidate. Anyone who seems interested, he sits and, talks for a while about his vision of what Perdition can be.
I will listen to Luke's vision.
All right. Luke's vision is not too much different than Kurtz's. Kurtz seems to be very industrialized. He wants to grow it big and he wants to grow it fast. So he's trying to make perdition like a lot of the cities back east where there are lots of population and a fairly small amount of area. And he's trying to make it big by pulling in people that can manufacture, make goods, that sort of thing. Since they are going to be a railhead, like a main destination, you know, east linking west through the Wasatch Line, he's hoping that this will be as every bit as big as, say, New York. On the other hand, Mr. Watson believes that perdition, yes, it's inevitable that it's going to become larger. He wants it to be slower and a more measured growth so that the problems that the larger cities back east have, pollution and destroying the territories, having problems with its neighbors, that those things could be avoided by a more moderate growth.
Okay. All right. I will go in and speak with Mr. Kurtz.
All right. Yeah, as I said, he seems to be taking inventory. A little bell rings when you open the door. He turns around, smiles. Oh, Mr. Mayor! Oh, you're not. He looks a little saddened that you're not wearing one of his pins.
Would
you care for a pin?
No, thank you, sir. Trying to maintain some neutrality here.
Oh, of course. You're right. Silly of me to ask. That would be showing preferential treatment. I'm so sorry.
It's quite all right, Mr. Kirk.
Can I interest you in a cigar? We just got some in today from Val Mexico way. I'm not a smoker myself. I forgot. Either of you.
Yes. I am not a smoker. I appreciate you.
Mr. Luke, remembering. Care for one? He offers you a nice Mexican cigar there, Luke.
Oh, I thought you were doing a Joker. So.
So Joker's outside. We'll call him Joker. We'll call you Luke.
All right.
All right. Yeah, so, fine smelling cigar. What can I do for you, Mayor?
I wouldn't mind. Would you mind taking this to a little bit more private place?
Oh, I've got an office in the back. Will that be all right?
Sounds ideal.
Okay. Jimmy, young boy sweeping up on the floor there. Watch things for me, will you? Sure thing. All right. He takes you out back. It's a pretty good sized office. There's enough chairs and tables for everybody there. He lights some oil lamps as there's only one window and not a lot of lights coming through.
Now, Mr. Kurtz, I understand that you are out of the generosity that wells up deep in your Christian heart, giving away land.
Oh, yes, sir. It's part of my plan to make this city large, large and fast.
Of course, I understand that. You understand how that might be seen as in a wee bit of a negative light, given the oncoming election and the rules that had been established therein.
Well, I assure you, Mayor, I've given it a lot of thought. He's got a very shrewd smile on his face. As per your own rules, sir, I have not asked for nor pandered anyone to vote for my son in the election. I made it very clear that there were two candidates, and my son was only one of them.
I understand that you're following the letter of the law.
And that's all that matters, sir.
Well, there's the spirit of the law, and I understand that such things exists for men like yourself to circumnavigate them as if you were Magellan himself. However, it makes me look a little bit unkindly on what you're doing, if you understand.
Well, Mayor, we all sat down in that booth not too many days ago, and we sat down exactly what the criteria were. I fail to see how I have overstepped that.
Really, do you? Because given the smile on your face, I don't believe you do.
Mr. Mayor, I'm a businessman.
I understand.
Apparently, you don't know a lot about the law and how it works.
I don't appreciate you insulting me.
It's not an insult, just a statement of fact. Have you gone to a university, sir? Have you taken law courses, sir?
I took it in the law of the Lord. So perhaps I'm not one to overlook the nature of the spirit of the law because that's the importance of the Lord's law. However, understand that underhanded deals, I understand that you will do as you will, but the reasons why we set forth these laws were to have an open and fair election.
Yes, an open and fair election, Mayor. Kind of like that passel of people that you brought waggling their own deeds of their own coming up from Wasatch Way. Don't you think maybe that would skew the election?
The reason why we made those deals were so that those people could have a home and have a say in the way of things being run. Now, they weren't prejudice to one side or another.
Oh, were they not, May? Did you not lead them here? I understand from some news folks reporting on the incident that you had a major hand in helping them, those poor folk, at the destruction of their last town. And you're saying...
And I ain't endorsed one candidate or another. I've been strict in my neutrality. The nature of this issue is such that I've been trying to look at it with an open heart and mind, and honestly, I don't have a dog in the fight. I was...
Oh, you don't?
However...
And are you an honest man, preacher?
I'm not. Yes.
Do you not work for Wasatch, or haven't recently worked for Wasatch?
I have taken a contract with them here.
And you're telling me that you don't know that Mr. Watson there, Mr. Luke Watson, also worked for Wasatch, and that it would be greatly in Wasatch's favor if Mr. Luke became our mayor?
It was not an issue that had been brought to my attention, sir. I am not privy to Mr. Hellstorm's dealings. I was merely...
Yet you were under his employ.
I was working as a security consultant, sir.
Under his employ. You received money from the mayor, yes?
Yes, I did.
Well, in the same vein as you
could be. I bid you a good day, sir. I see how this is... The train is coming. Which way the train is coming, sir? I bid you a good day.
You claim to want a fair election, but I give you information that Mr. Watson is linked with Wasatch and you turn your back on me? Sir, I call you false.
Sir, you are trying to steal the election as we speak, and you call me false?
I've done nothing more than you already have.
Sir, what I did was lead these people here.
And I did nothing more. I led other people here onto my own land, which I have every right to give away.
Yes, you do. You absolutely do, sir. I'm not disputing that. What I was merely stating was the nature of the agreement and the reason why we had set forth the agreement. The agreement was agreed to with the full knowledge that these people would have the right to vote. If it had been an objection, certainly would have entertained it at the time. However,
there was no objection. Now, you left the route to make it equal, and I did so.
Indeed, you did. Indeed, you did. As I said, I bid you a good day, sir.
I suggest you talk to Mr. Watson. If you say that you're a fair man, you'll hear what I had to say.
I tip my cap and walk out the door. Welp. All right.
Almost feel him smiling at your back.
I will. Yeah. It's a douchebag. All right. Let's,
if we were doing this for a longer time span, just the next few hours, I would have been trying to set up a little wee arc where I set Luke up as someone to be bribed for favors. Not really going to work in the current time span we have for us.
Yep.
But I'm not quite following you. What is it? What's your idea there?
Oh, get Luke set up as someone who could be bribed, what have you.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. But I think that would work better over longer sessions.
I'll go find Watson.
Sure. He's made his way down Second Avenue there. He's basically making the rounds, introducing himself to people.
Is it about lunchtime yet?
A couple hours away, we'll say.
All right.
You haven't spent a lot of time yet this morning.
Yeah, that's no problem. Mr. Watson. I will shake his hand.
Ah, Mayor, and the lovely Miss Bushaw, and Mr. Villa... I'm sorry. Villeneuve. I'm sorry, I don't have a tongue for... I apologize.
That's all right. I can't pronounce it either.
Mr. Watson, would you mind having lunch with us at Red's, say around noon?
I prefer not to be seen in Red's right now. There's some people there that I don't want to really be associated with during this time of election. The Cliff Watch has a wonderful
lunch. That sounds excellent. I will arrange for us to have a table, and we'll have lunch and discuss a few things.
As you're talking, Granville Kurtz is making his way out of Red's and sees you in the streets there. He says, "Oh, Mr. Mayor, I believe we were supposed to meet at my father's."
Oh, unfortunately, I already had your meeting with your father.
Oh dear.
We did discuss some matters there.
Well, I hope he answered everything you needed as well as he could. My father is He's got his hat in his hand, actually. He's like, my father can get a little tear sometime. I hope he didn't offend you.
No, sir. There's just the inevitable friction that happens between two individuals who are going different ways on the train. Nothing more.
Oh, Mr. Watson. Shakes hands with Mr. Watson. Fine day. I'll enjoy our commentary that I believe is scheduled for this Sunday. Is that
this
right
Sunday?
There?
This Sunday after church.
They shake hands with each other. You know, they seem to be actually, you know, neither one seems to have a lot of friction with the other. And Granville will go along his way. Mr. Watson says, well, it's about an hour to lunch. I've got a few things to finish up here. I understand there's a newspaper going in. I'd like to go and talk to those boys. Might be able to get an article in on their first paper. I'd like to get in on that.
All right.
Meet you there in an hour?
Of course. I will stop by the Cliff Watch, arrange the room, and then I have an office somewhere, don't I?
Well, yes. It doesn't have a roof. Okay. You have an office in the town hall, but there's no roof yet.
Okay.
There's a nice office there.
Indeed. I'll go find Hattie and ask, when does the city council meet?
Well, it meets whatever you call them, dear.
All right.
It'd be nice to give somebody at least a day's warning if you can, but most people can be rounded up.
What is today? What day is today?
Well, we'll start beginning of the week. We'll say this is Monday.
Okay.
We haven't had a Sunday yet, have we? So, no. Yeah, we'll say this is midweek. This is Wednesday. There we go.
Okay. Would next Monday be a good day to have the council meet?
Oh, sure. That sounds like a good idea. Leaves about not quite a week before the elections. Sounds good. I'll round everyone up for you. Where should we meet?
Let's meet in the Cliff Watch Inn.
Well, the roof should be up in the town hall by then, if you'd like. We could.
Oh, if it will be up then that's perfectly.
I best be getting on then. I've got, some more paperwork to file for Wasatch.
Of course, Miss Hattie. I hope you have a pleasant day.
You too, Mr. Mayor.
Ah, Miss Hattie, before you run off now, had a curious point put forth, by Mr. Kurtz about a possibility of an inappropriate relationship between Mr. Watson and company you represent. I was just wondering if I could hear Washtek's side of the story.
Ooh, let me think about this. What skill would you use to find out if someone is hiding something?
It is notice. Notice. Yeah. Yes.
Give me a notice roll.
Ooh.
Nice roll. Let's see. Is there a way to lie to someone in this?
Yes.
How does Stranger Nick know that?
Persuasion. It is a persuasion roll.
No, she has that.
Rolls a D15.
What
the hell?
Nope. Okay.
Wow.
Yes, she got a 6.
Yeah.
All right. So she starts. She has a smile on her face, and her tone hasn't changed. But you see, you know, something about her eyes changed a little. She says, Mr. Mayor, I'm not quite sure what to say to that.
I was merely looking for the truth.
Well, what do you mean by an inappropriate relationship?
That Mr. Watson was in y'all's employ?
No, he's never been on our employ.
Well, would you mind going into detail about that particular relationship?
She kind of blushes and gets really red and says, no, Mayor, I'd rather not.
Well, then, Miss Hattie, is none of my business if you don't care to go into it. I would hope that you have a good day, and I apologize if I had stumped with my boots in an issue that I ain't rightly had way in it. But you should be aware, the Kurtz is aware.
She actually, hands go to the mouth, looks very frightened for a moment before she, gets control of herself. The rest of you guys can roll, notice too, to see if you're picking up these cues. If you don't, then you're clueless and he's the only one seeing it.
Well, I think we can get it from what you've been saying.
Well, the picking up on the blushing and all that.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
If the Canadian understands.
He says, I assure you, Mayor, it has nothing to do with Wasatch. It's a private matter that a lady shouldn't be discussing.
I said I understood, and I do apologize. But
did he say anything more, Mr. Kurtz?
No, he did not. I did not stoop to inquire over a rumor.
She kind of breathes out a sigh and says, thank you, Mr. Mayor. A good day.
A good day. Well, hang on.
There'd be the French side of Luke's Canadianess coming through there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's that Canadian smarm. He can see it.
All right. Let's have this meeting then.
Sure. He shows up on time. You guys have actually, got a private area set up in the hotel. And go ahead.
Just something I wanted to bring up before. It's not going to. What I remember more than anything else. We may want to have some also talk about what the first article, what article got on the paper on the first day to do, also help boost up the town's lack of fear level, sort of the, where, hey, we did really well against the Indians.
Yeah, the Indians.
Reinforce that.
Have a chip. Good idea.
Yeah, and then I'll give a sermon about it on Sunday to see if I can't deal with this issue overall. Mm-hmm. And make sure
it's unless you guys are doing something different, I'm going to assume everyone continues to be together.
Yeah, for now.
I hope so.
There's some long-term things Luke will be doing over the next 2 weeks, but nothing that is right. All right.
So Watson meets you on time, and they've got a simple fare set out, but the food is good, as it usually is in the Cliff Watch. Knowing your predilections there, Gideon, they put water out in front of you, but they'll have wine out and for everyone else,
I will thank the staff for their consideration towards myself.
So, Mr. Mayor, I believe you had some questions for me.
Indeed. Have we eaten already?
Yeah, sure. You could be
white. Okay. I don't want to spoil the food with such talk.
You make some just chit chat until everyone's just about done, and then you get to
Mr. Luke. There had been.
Call him Mr. Watson.
I'm sorry, Mr. Watson.
Call him Mr. Joker. Will understand. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be confusing.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Watson. I had a meeting with Mr. Kurtz earlier today. Are you aware to what his particular shenanigans he is up to?
Senior or junior?
Senior.
Senior. I have heard he actually pulls out the same article that you saw earlier, and he lays it out in front of you. I do receive the Shan Fan Gazette, and this was ran in the paper early yesterday.
Indeed. Well, I had a meeting about that. Mr. Kurtz is very secure in the fact that he is transgressing our deal in such a way that there will be no repercussions to him.
Well, to be honest, Mayor, I don't really think it's going to help him much. The people that he's going to get to respond to this, these are common laborers. They're going to have more the way of thinking to me than they will to his son, I do believe. If I get a chance to lay out in front of them what my vision is, I believe they'd still vote my way.
Well, also, keep in mind that this could be a powerful tool that you could use to maneuver other people your way, given how much such an action reeks of dishonesty.
I agree.
However, doing it in such a careful way as to not antagonize the newcomers.
I don't wish to make this a muckraking contest, though, sir. I'd rather not sully myself by casting aspersions to my opponent. And as you know, the son is not like the father.
Son seemed to be a little bit more of a simple man, sir, and a man who was under his father's sway.
That's true. I still hope that Granville can find some of his own spine, though. Even if he does win, I don't think it could be all for the bad if he's got a good committee around him and his father's words aren't heard as often.
Well, his father seems to me a man clever in the ways of the world. To be honest with you, I don't think it will be the end of the world if Granville does get elected, and I will maintain my strict neutrality because, honestly, the people will get what they deserve.
I believe that's been uttered in a curse by more than one lip.
It has been, but also they know not what they do. But nonetheless, an issue that is of mild concern to me is that Kurtz had insinuated that you were possibly within Washitek's sphere.
He pauses for a moment, thinks about it, and says, I see how he could think that. He nods his head.
Indeed. Well,
it's not true, but I can see how he could think that.
He's a man sly in the way of the world, sir, and he is not accustomed to the other world. If you understand what I'm getting towards, all things to him are in this world and only for the advantage of this world. There exists no other world for him, sadly.
Yeah, that's the usual way that many men that conspire to create wealth, you know, usually lack it in many ways.
Not always true.
I do have something to bring to you, Mr. Mayor, that needs some looking into.
Of course.
As you know, with the events of last night, we have, many dead people. They're going to need proper burials and all, and I'm sure that their surviving kin will look to that, but there are some that don't have kin, and there's also the matter of some property in town now, as I understand, is legally owned by the town. So, these people who passed with no kin, it belongs to the town now. It might be a suggestion that you move on that before others do.
I will do so. Fortunately, there will be a city council meeting on Monday. I do not believe.
Quick question: is Father Kurtz on the city council?
Yes, he is.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
So is Luke.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, sorry, Watson. Mr. Watson is also on.
Well, no, I'm on it as well. You know.
Yeah. All right. How quickly enough should this be a matter the council deals with, or do I have authority to deal with it?
Well, I don't rightly know. Nothing can really be done until the council, understand the law.
The sheriff should be taking note of right now?
Well, the sheriff should maybe make sure that no one claim jumps those homes. I do believe the law says if someone takes it over and they're not ousted within a certain time, they own it. So, sheriff might want to board up some of those doors and make sure vagrants don't get in and claim the spot. But otherwise, as I understand it, the houses are owned by the council to distribute as they will or sell as they will, unless the squatter happens to claim it that way.
Who would do the appraising of the properties?
The town revenuer, probably.
Okay, I will get with her and ensure that each property is properly appraised for its value so that when we go forth to the council, that is not an issue. All right. I will talk with Kurtz about about the satisfaction or my satisfaction of the potentiality that you're in Washik's palm.
Well, to be honest, Mayor, may I speak in confidence? And he looks up at the other people at the table too. It's a woman's honor that's at stake here, and I would not want it past this room.
I get up and start walking away very, it's like, pardon me, I need to use the power room, and I leave.
Okay. Miss Hattie and I have been engaged to be married for some time. It's been rather understated, as I don't wish to. Well, as you know, she works for Wasatch and Wasatch, and she is upholding the policy that hands off on this town, and I don't want it to be seen as me garnering favors or being a pawn of Wasatch. So it hasn't been publicly. Of public note. This engagement has gone on for the better part of a year now. Some folk know, most don't, but I could see how it could be used against me.
Well, might be best to air it out, might not, but honestly, that's a private matter between you and her. I see no reason to suspect you of ill deeds, and you strike me a man of honor.
Never taken a coin from Wasatch. I have been engaged on occasion without pay, mind you, to give my opinion on a thing or two. But that's the most I have done for Wasatch.
Sounds fair enough to me. Not an issue as far as I am concerned. Although I did, unfortunately, speak with Miss Hattie about this, and unbeknownst to me, I was not aware of the relationship. And might have treaded on some ground I perhaps shouldn't have.
Go ahead and give me a notice roll during this conversation, by the way.
Yeah, I figure he is well aware that I'm aware of all that.
He seems to be a very straightforward person. None of the common signs of someone who lies or tries to obfuscate.
Good Lord.
Again, it's the matter where the French comes
from. Yes, yes. Luke is quite convinced that he's very serious about this Hattie.
So I wish you two the best. And,
we had intended to wait a... Hattie intends to leave the service of Wasatch once the town has gotten truly established, and we wish to marry after that so there would not be any fallout.
Yeah. All right. Well, you have a bid you a good day.
Before you leave, actually, if I may address another completely separate matter, we plan to return to the cave of where the ghoul originated from to make sure there's no other... There's no more sort of remaining threat from them. Just wondering if your men were still available. Or, potentially, GM may suggest this. Oh, maybe they go by themselves to check in on it.
Yeah. Well, the ones I referred to you, certainly. He tells you where they live. The rest of them you know because, you know, they're looking for other work, too, and stuff. So.
And running for sheriff and such. How is the race for sheriff working out?
Hasn't really gotten started so much. That's going to take place after the mayor's elected. The mayor and the council will decide who out of those that are wishing to will be, you know, it's an elected position by the council, not by the people.
We found a very odd trace when we went to deal with the ghouls. There was a single ghoul who was left behind dressed in ceremonial robes.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe them for me? Just maybe a smarts roll as to the exact recollection that you can make for her.
Sarah, why don't you do this? Because I am not as smart as you.
Yeah, Sarah, you can come back after they finish their delicate conversation.
Got a five. Half at least.
Wow, that's an impressively bad roll for you.
Oh, well, the five is actually very good. Gideon, begin to describe it, and Luke basically says, no, it was red. No, it was shaped like this. All right. Luke says, that's a ceremonial headdress the shamans wore. That tribe hasn't been around for a while. That particular type of headgear hasn't been worn in quite some time. You say one of the ghouls wore this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. That tribe who became the ghouls. No, that's
ridiculous. Yeah, likely as not them, but it is interesting that the shaman had been left behind. Now, do the ghouls generally take things of value, or do they just see no value in anything?
No. They basically live at an animalistic level. They attack for food, shelter. That's basically their drives. Did you note any particular intelligence amongst them?
Yes.
We only really saw the one, and other than that, they all kind of,
there was a animal cunning about hunting and so on and so forth, more on the scale of something you would see with a mountain lion.
Yeah, pack instinct perhaps. Well, if that's all you saw, I don't see, from what you were telling me before, they don't tend to like to be around fashioned items, metal particularly.
Why would one of them stay behind in ceremonial robes?
That is a question.
It's a very particular question.
I'm afraid I can't answer you that one for you, Mayor. That particular ceremonial gear is not modern. It hasn't been seen in quite a while.
Yes. All right. Well, I wish you to have a good day.
Well, I'm off to see that newspaper about getting an article in.
Yep. Let's go see him as well. Go after you go, because that would not look right.
Right. So you leave after he leaves.
Yeah. We've got a momentary break. One of the things that Luke will be doing over the next while is practicing with bow and arrow to make sure he can use that properly.
Ah, good. You've said it, so it now works at your shooting skill.
Yeah.
And we will speak with the sheriff about boarding things up. And then I will speak to my Mexican guy about getting a parcel of land if he wants one.
All right. Well, the sheriff and Young will take care of boarding a property, et cetera, rousting out the bums.
Santiago.
Yeah. He's all about it. You tell him he'll go down to, he'll go down
as well. Pick yourself up.
Really? Santiago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's his name.
Yeah. I know it's his name. Rolling eyes.
Just out of interest in the way the law works in the, sort of in this game, in the city, whatever, with the people who are living in town at the moment, is the property in just the man's name or in the man and the woman's name?
Well, Deadlands universe is very egalitarian because they want player characters to be male or female, so yeah, it's pretty ego either way.
Well, I'm just wondering if that's...
no sexism involved.
If only one of the couple was owning the property, then the other one can go and get an acre of land if they wanted it.
Usually, if they're a married couple, then they jointly own the property.
Oh, then the kids can get in and get a parcel of the land for themselves.
Not if they're minors.
Yeah. The contract didn't say minor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In his little, when he gives the contracts, he goes over the you're not allowed to do this if, you have to be of your age of majority.
They'll probably be like late teens kids still living with their parents who might want to take advantage of it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
There'll be some.
If you guys want to spread the word around town for people that are eligible for it, maybe dilute some of his votes that way, that would be a good thing to do.
Oh, yeah, I think I might like to do that.
People, throw me some persuasion rolls. Everyone who's doing this.
I will do this, and I will throw you a persuasion roll.
What's some persuasion?
Yeah, something else. I just want to be doing my meet and greet. All throughout the town and just making sure that everyone is getting on by and making sure that no one has been forgotten and are, you know, the bad things that have happened. So, yes, I made it with two raises.
Nice. The way I'm doing this, by the way, just so that you know that what you're doing is going to have value, anytime that you do something for one side or the other, each raise and each success is like basically a tick mark for one side or for the other. And the father has already got, you know, a good lead in some stuff he's been doing in the background. So.
Does Joker actually have pins for his campaign?
Not that you've seen.
Ah, okay.
So was that six good for anything?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's anything above a four is, you know, one tick in the favorable column towards Joker. And if you get a raise, that's another tick in his column. And he's going out and basically pressing the flesh, so he's basically, he made a role of his own, and he's going out and making sure everyone knows his face and what he stands for.
Yeah.
Do we need to make a role of some kind for the newspaper article?
Well, when you get in there, we'll do that.
Okay. Yeah, okay, we'll go to the newspaper article next.
We'll get it done now.
Okay, sure. When you go in there and you give a bit of time behind behind Watson, so it doesn't look too bad. You see a couple of Kurtz's men actually come out of the newspaper office and tip their hats at you as you come in.
I tip my hat to them. Say, gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Just checking out the newspaper, new newspaper, and dropping off something that Mr. Kurtz wanted printed up.
Yeah, very nice. Awesome. Very nice, gentlemen.
All right, you go in and. There is a very thin, lanky man. You know, see, late 20s, maybe early 30s. He's got a handlebar mustache. It's very, very waxed. He's got one of these green visors over his head. His hands are all black with ink, and he's working on one of these press machines. And you hear it's clattering around, and it's pretty noisy in here. There's a small desk that's set up with some flyers on it, and there's a price list posted as well.
Is there a blocker wheel with a spike coming out of it with notes stuck into it?
No, there is not. There is a little.
Come on, classic trade man.
There is a little hamper there where there's several handwritten and printed sheets that are filling up the hamper. He doesn't seem to hear you come in as he's working very closely on this very loud machine.
Okay. Say, sir.
He doesn't hear you as he's.
I will shout it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's apparently the machine that close is so loud, he's just unaware that you're shouting at him.
I will go up and shake him.
Do it carefully. Yeah, I'm going to just – I just know you have to go – if you're working machinery, carefully, you go up to them carefully, having worked on a fair few myself, and just get directly get their appearance. They just jump on and go, "Hey, how you doing?" He jumps on the machine and kills himself, sort of thing. Yeah. No.
Well, it will spare me some effort and time if he does that.
If he just gets his head lobbed off now in his own machine, it'll be fine.
Yeah, screw the press. Press is always bad news.
All right. Well, yeah. It's once you go up and physically, you know, you touch him, he turns around and it's like. He yells really loud, and you can barely hear what he's saying. It's something about, "Give me a minute to stop the press."
You can't stop the press. The press is literally stopped.
So he runs off a few more sheets and wipes his hand off on a nearby rag and still leaves behind this black sheen on his fingers. He turns the machine off, though, so there's just kind of a small clatter going on in the background. What can I do before, sir? First newspaper should be hot off the sheets late this evening. There's still time to get an article in.
Indeed, that is what we would like to do. Do you happen to have a copy of the newspaper? By the way, my name is Gideon Stewart, and I'm the mayor around these parts.
My name is, what is it again?
I forgot my name.
What? Fred Alston. Nice to meet you. This here's the Perdition Harbinger. I know, the name's a little dark, but, you know, it's the best one that my committee could come up with. Looks a little crestfallen. Well, the newspaper's not all assembled yet. I'm just running off certain articles here. It looks like it's going to be a good one, though. He goes over to the basket, and it's like, I got 11 articles to run today.
Okay. You mind if I take a bit of a perusal with those? And while we work up an article we would like you to print.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. You'll have to wait for the press like everyone else. The unethical will let me to let you see these just yet.
Okay. That doesn't have anything to do with freedom of the press, but okay.
It has a lot to do with freedom of the press, actually.
No. Thanks. Whatever. I don't care. Okay.
Well, you can try to convince him otherwise. That's just his initial.
No. If that's the way he wants to run business, that's fine. I'm not going to interfere with the man's business. Let us.
I'm really flashing back to the truth by Terry Pratchett. He really am.
Yeah.
Well, right here's our fee, sir. He points you to the chalkboard he's got written up. You take out a small line article for $1. You can get a quarter page here for $5. It costs you $10 to get a whole page.
Do we get to pick where the article gets placed?
Well, the front page is local and breaking news, of course. But any page after that, yes, ma'am. If you've got a particular want there, it does cost a little bit more, depending on which page you want it on.
Okay, if you can't show us the articles, can you show us who posted them, who wrote them?
Well, that's fine. Let's see here. He rustles through his sheet. He goes, just recently I got a full-page article here paid for by the Kurtz Export Company. Before that, Mr. Watson came in. He got a quarter page. I got some here for some local businesses. Blacksmith's running a deal on horseshoes. two for four. Yeah, the ones of note is that Marshick Kurtz put in a full page ad. Mr. Watson put in just a small quarter ad. There is apparently an op-ed piece by the school marm, Rhonda Flannery.
Not all this crunching around here.
Well,
right.
I mean, honestly, in the
here we got a public page. That's free. It's it's last page, and it's your school marm here is put in for one.
In the spirit,
it's for the public good.
In the spirit of fairness, I'm just going to ask you a simple yes/no question. You don't have to give me any details, but is the Kurtz ad regarding the upcoming election?
Oh yeah, yes. So is Mr. Watson.
Okay. Actually, Mr. Mayor, in the essence of fairness, I would think it would be best to upgrade Mr. Watson's ad to be full page as well.
If a private citizen wishes to do that, that's quite all right. But as the arbiter of neutrality that I am, I cannot do this.
Well, as a land-owning citizen of Perdition, I wish to do so.
You're right.
Well, he only gave me so much text. I mean, I'm more than willing to take your money, ma'am, but you want me just to make the letters bigger?
Well...
I gotta say, Mr. Watson's piece may be fewer words, but it's a lot more interesting than Mr. Kurtz's.
Then I would, yes, make the letters bigger. And what would be the price to update, to upgrade that ad?
Oh, just the difference between a quarter page and a full page, if that's what you want. Let's see here. He does some math and says $6.
$6? Do I have that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will pay that.
You have about I think $150.
Yeah, something like that. But because, yes, I'll pay the $6 to make Watson's ad the same size.
Okay.
I want the election. I mean, as a land owning citizen of Perdition, I want these elections to be as balanced and fair as possible.
He scratches his head. He's like, whatever you want, ma'am. Your money's as good as anyone else's.
Thank you, good sir.
Now, this is a ad, well, not so much an ad, but an article that I would like you to run. It's regarding the menace that has been put down to this our fair city.
It's our first paid story, actually. If you want to add to it, I put this together from just some witness statements. I talked to some people this morning about what went on. Here, I can show you that.
Okay, if you would.
Yeah. That I expected we'd be able to see because that's just plain news.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I personally shot a couple of those things, so yeah, I'd love to see that one.
Indians.
Headlines is Demon Albino Indians Attack Fair City.
Yeah, can
we? It goes on to talk about how it's not safe to leave your doors open at night. The murderous Indians come and slit your throats at night, and there's some conjecture that the particular pallor of these Indians could mean some bad times and a plague coming through this city. It's actually
it's pretty
horrid.
Well, speaking as a doctor, I can put to rest your fears of a plague. I know that's not newsworthy, but
he's got a notepad out, and you look over his shoulder or so while he's writing it. Doctor denies the possibility of plague.
Let's go ahead and set
switch case for a moment. Imagine this guy is Anton.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and set some matters straight here.
Government conspiracy. Government cover up.
Myself and the people I wrote in with.
First of all, can I quote you, sir?
Absolutely. Are you going to take my quotes out of context?
I'll quote exactly how you say it, sir.
Okay. That's a yes, by the way.
Yes. That's completely a yes. Damn it. Alright, well, let me go ahead and start off by saying these Injuns, or this particular tribe of Injuns, have been a problem to the other Indians. And because we had ignored their plight, the surrounding Indians had all been driven out, while these evil Injuns had plotted in their stronghold to strike at us. We had ridden out to go deal with this particular threat, and unfortunately they had decided to strike first. As soon as we got wind of that, we headed back into town and managed to help the common man defeat these foes.
Over his shoulder, yeah, you're reading, Sarah. Mayor declares red on red hate crimes.
where was mayor when ghouls came to town, when Indians came to town? Where was mayor?
I was fighting them off.
Yeah, but you said we came back to town quickly when we sort of found out. Where was me when the guys went down?
Four notches on my wound.
What is your intent, Nick? What kind of tone are you going to set?
The tone is that this was a threat that had been brewing, that we had found out about the threat and had tried to, take care of it, but we came back to town and completely took care of the threat. There is no more threats. Threats are gone.
Okay, so you're saying unfortunate event, one-time occurrence sort of thing.
Yes.
Give me a persuasion roll.
Yes, and that the powers that be had acted.
Ooh, nice.
Okay. Yeah. With a little bit of literary flair taken with it, he gets your tone in the way you're intending.
We have friendly Indians that are with us to neutralize this threat because it's a danger to everyone.
No, we don't. They're all gone.
No, where I'm lying. Hello.
I'm not lying. I'm preventing you from lying.
That's, what are you going to tell her to just, I mean, she can say her piece. If you're going to say your piece, go ahead and say it.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, that's not true.
You give me a persuasion roll there, Sarah.
Okay.
I think I get what you're trying to do, but yeah, that is going to work.
All right. Okay. He gets your tone down, what you're trying to say. Local doctor says.
And then.
Trying to say is that not all of the Indians are our enemies. Some of them are neutral or friendly, and they recognize the ones that aren't. And so we should not treat all Indians as though they are hostile.
Yeah, you do well enough that he'll revise that bit about Indians coming into your house and slipping your throats. he'll throw that out. He'll give you that.
And then I want to mention a few citizens in particular who stood out, I had mentioned, and also the Fallen Tavern, the Fallen Angel, how they had, I want to draw a particular attention to the way he had helped out in,
Just to add an offhand thing, Rids also helped. Just real sort of offhand one sentence of a note.
Yeah. And there was, and I will mention a few of other citizens who had helped out. And Kurtz's name, and Kurtz's name will mysteriously be absent from my list of people.
All right. Well, he looks at it and says, well, this is all very good, Mr. Mayor, and I can print it exactly as you said, but if you really want this to be just a gripping piece, if you'd allow me to take some liberties here. And he basically says, I'd like to say it this way instead of that way. And give me a second here.
I'm so tempted to say, and of course we deny all rumors of the
damn it!
Oh yeah, he's making it sound like a penny dreadful.
And a bad one at that.
Yeah. No, you can't.
Okay, I'll just go with what you said then.
Yes, that's if you would. And I would like to take out a full page ad thanking, particular citizens of note. And all the rest of it. And certain citizens will be on there, including our favorite citizen.
Hey, this is a good idea. You mind if I use this, Mayor? I can have a hero's roll call. Page 3, every issue.
Have a word, Mayor, just quickly?
Yeah, sure.
Just off the side. Are you totally trying to piss off Kurtz?
Yeah, fuck that, yeah. I'm sorry.
We've still got to deal with him for the next week and a half or so, and the town has to deal with him. Do you really want to turn him against everyone here? I don't think you want to do that. So don't just be a bit more careful. That's just probably not mentioning either Luke or Kurtz in the list, just so it doesn't look like we're favoring him.
Just as a point of knowledge, while neither of the Kurtzes helped, the Kurtz Export Company did give out a lot of aid of free materials during that.
Why don't you thank Dr. Lewis for ministering to the injured?
Yeah, no, he will be thanked as well.
Did I misspoke? Did I say they didn't help?
Yes, in my notes I have Kurtz's help was noticeably absent.
That's exactly what I pretty much I have.
Fair enough. Okay.
That's
like close to it.
If he had help, if that's something that we want to have in the change, then I will mention.
No. If you guys have it in your notes, I apparently failed to note it in mine, but that sounds like sure that that'll work.
Yeah.
I know. I remember that I particularly noted that both Kurtzes were holed up and didn't come out at all during that. So
Now Kirsten, the Kurtz company, was that mentioned as they did help? We do know that.
They did help, then I will note down they did help.
Sure. So you'll have we'll say that the Kurtz Export Company itself did give out some aid. Not from the Kurtzes particularly, just the...
Yep.
Well, I mean, honestly, not to toot my own horn here, but I did kind of like save your bacon with a couple of headshots and...
I mean, we can mention our party.
Local doctor, also crack marksman.
Yes. All right. And I will mention something about Washitek taking the brunt of the attack and their people and all the rest of that. And I will go over my exploits over that at the mine, but won't make it too big of a deal, you know? So it's part of the narrative.
Holy man brings down the thunder of God.
No, you're bad at things. What are you doing? Stop this.
Stop helping. Okay. Stop helping.
Yeah, you're not helping. You're right.
Not.
All right, there we go.
So only say that if it's combined with some statement about how you're determined to make our election fair.
Actually, all of that you just said, he's going to take as commentary and interview to the stories that are already going to be printed. So there's not.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. All
right. He's going to take that idea of the hero's roll call as a normal page 3.
Oh, and make sure you print something about the sheriff and not shooting guns.
Oh, he slides a page out and looks it over. Local lawman makes residents terrified to leave homes at night.
Yeah, that's about right. Keep not that in there.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Completely fair. Can't say anything against that. All right. And then I will.
This is where you get to having a social life, Pete. Your own fault.
Yep. And then I'll go press the flesh some more. And very, very subtle. No. Then I'll go talk to Kurtz if he's still around. But it might be time to take a break.
Yeah, Kurtz will actually already be gone from the export company as this is well past noon. This is all happens. And yeah, let's go ahead and take a break here while it's recording.
Music in this podcast is provided by Kevin MacLeod. More of his excellent music can be found at incompetech.com. We have several ways that you can comment on our show. You can send email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com. You can join our public forums at bluemagic.com/forums. That's bluemagic, BLUMAGIK.com. Leave us feedback on iTunes or visit obsidianportal.com and do a search for our title and find our campaign blog and more information about the show.
It is a center for higher learning. It is a place with centuries of secrets in its shadowed halls. This is where you have come to learn the mysteries of the cosmos. We are pleased to present the Miskatonic University Podcast. On our campus, you will learn the deepest secrets of the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. From rules mechanics to beings of the mythos and insanities that plague men's minds. Join us at www.mu-podcast.com.